Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the July 10th, 2023 Emmett County Commissioners meeting. I'd like to welcome everybody. Let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Lockbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Aarons?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Coons?
Here.
Okay, so coming up, we're looking for an approval for the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, say the same sign. Motion carries. We're looking for a motion for the June 15th meeting minutes.
I'll make that motion, Chair, to approve the June 15th, 2023 meeting minutes.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. Come time for a public comment. Anybody wishing to speak at the mic, step forward. You've got 3 minutes.
Good evening, Commissioners. I'm Bob Engel, resident of Bear Creek Township. I was going to use a whole 3 minutes, but Mr. Boyer has shortened that up for me a little bit. I just want to make a couple comments. I gave you a handout because I thought I'd have to address this issue tonight regarding the senior millage funds. Millage is something that's voted upon every 4 years by the county, and it's been approved for the last 40 years. And under the state statute, it does say that it can only be, the funds can only be appropriated by the county board to nonprofits or to a public agency. And the way the application read in the newspaper back in June was that for-profits could apply. It was also on the county website, and as of 4 o'clock this afternoon it was. Mr. Boyer has indicated to me that that's been changed. Well, maybe the website hasn't been changed yet, but it's been addressed, and so that is going to be taken away, so we don't have to worry about it. But just concerns that I have is watch for those kind of things creeping up in the future, is that sometimes people put things out that shouldn't be out there. And as a concerned citizen, no longer a lawyer, just a concerned citizen, now a taxpayer, I'd like to make sure my tax dollars are going the right way. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you tonight. Glad I didn't have to use all my 3 minutes.
Thank you, Bob. Who's next? Anybody else? Okay, let's move on. We have Emmett County Audit.
Okay, I would like to introduce Joe Berlin from Gaybridge & Company, and he is going to go over, we're going to go over page by page of the audit. So I hope you're ready.
Word by word.
And so make sure everybody has a complete understanding. Yeah. I thank the board for the opportunity to be here tonight. And certainly if there are questions along the way, feel free to ask. In this 120-page or so report, what matters more than anything else can be found on page one. And it's the second paragraph down. It's the opinion paragraph on the financial statements. And the county provided us a set of financial statements. We worked with various financial institutions, granting agencies, the state of Michigan. We confirmed and verified the numbers that were provided to us. And accordingly, we provided a clean opinion on the county's financial statements. And we wrote, in our opinion, the financial statements present fairly the financial position of the county as of December 31st, 2022. The technical term is an unmodified opinion, but I explain it as being a clean opinion on your financial statements. This is the gold standard. This is the highest level that we can provide. It means that your controls are suitably designed and effectively working to make sure that accurate and timely financial statements are provided. So kudos to the staff for getting to this point. But again, always should be the county's goal to have a clean opinion on your financial statements. Next, if you go to page 6 of the audit report, this gets us to the financial highlights of for the county for the year ended December 31st, 2022. This is the first page of management's discussion and analysis, and I would think of this as being the Cliff Note version of your entire audit. So if you wanted to go to basically a 10-page summary of how the county did during 2022 compared to the prior year, this is a good place to go look. We see your comparative year financial statements, financial highlights, as well as some narrative that explains reasons behind the significant changes in your assets and liabilities during the past 2 years. That first bullet point shows, in the financial highlights section, shows if the county took all of its assets and subtracted all the liabilities, there'd be about $119 million left over, and we refer to that as net position. It's a theoretical number. Obviously, the county has no intention of doing that, but what we do like to see is that number increasing or decreasing over time. And that number was about a $7 million increase over the previous year net position. And that means that, you know, if a reader looks at the county's financial statements, the county is $7 million better off financially at December 31st, 2022 compared to December 31st, 2021. So you're trending in the right direction. Second bullet point down, now we're looking at the county's fund balances. So we're looking at the modified accrual or the cash basis of accounting. So when we look at what are your immediate resources compared to your immediate liabilities, there's about $33.7 million of fund balance left over at the end of the year, at December 31st, 2022. That, too, is about a $4.5 million increase over the previous fiscal year. So, again, about $4.5 million more cash came in to the county compared to cash out. So that, too, is trending in a positive direction. Third bullet point down, now we're looking just at the unassigned or the general fund balance. And the general fund balance had about a $23.3 million total fund balance. That was an increase of about $4.3 million. And the unassigned fund balance of your general fund was $21,548,000 as of December 31st, 2022. And when we take your total unassigned fund balance and we divide it by your general fund expenditures and transfers out, you have about 75% funded. So basically about 9 months worth of reserves sitting in your unassigned fund balance. Not too much, not too little. Most of our counties range anywhere from 50 to 100%. And your unassigned fund balance is the amount that the county has to cover the day-to-day cost of running the county. You can use that to cover wages, utilities, supplies, things of that nature. So very healthy, stable financial position at December 31st. If you turn now three more pages and get to page 9, this is a schedule that shows the comparative assets and liabilities for the county for the past 2 years. Just a few things I wanted to point out here. First, the very top row. It's always nice to see how your cash is doing over time. And if we go to the very last column, very top row, at December 31st, 2021, the county had $46.2 million of cash. That compares to $52.9 million of cash. This is across all funds of the county, including Bay Bluffs. So $52.9 million, that's about a $7 million increase in your cash. Always nice to see your cash trending up. The biggest reason for that is the ARPA funds. So the county is sitting on about $6 million of unspent ARPA funds as of December 31st, 2022. About 25% of the way down, you can see the county had a net pension asset of $1.635 million at December 31st, 2022. That compares to an asset of $2.3 million as of December 31st, 2021. The reason for that decrease, the market was down during 2022. The county's pension assets had a decrease, a net investment loss of 14%, or about $800,000 during the course of the year, compared to the previous several years where the county was earning double-digit gains. So we did have a bit of a market correction in 2022 that led to a decrease in your asset. But the fact that the county has a net pension asset is a very good sign. Most of our counties have a net pension liability, which means that you have more pension liability compared to pension assets. But you guys are over, or you have more assets set aside than your liability. Very, very healthy funding percentage as of December 31st, 2022. And then next, if you look about halfway down the page, you can see accrued and other liabilities. That number increased. It was about $5.99 million as of December 31st, 2021, compared to about $9.22 million as of December 31st, 2022. And again, the reason for that is the unspent ARPA funds is classified as an accrued liability as of December 31st, 2022. If you go one more page to page 10, we get a look at the comparative revenues and expenses of the county for the past 2 years. And about half, about maybe one-third of the way down the page, the total revenues in 2021 were $61.4 million compared to about $61.1 million during 2022. It's a very consistent revenues year over year. And then if you look three rows up from the bottom, you can see in the very last column, the change in net position was a positive $9.4 million during 2021, and that compares to about a $7 million increase in net position during 2022. So back-to-back years with strong increasing net position for the county. Going out to page 20, we get into the fund financial statements for the county. So we're looking here at your governmental funds. This is on the modified accrual basis of accounting. Or I would think of this as being cash basis. So what are your, it's kind of like checkbook accounting. How much cash did the county have at the end of the year to cover its immediate liabilities? In the general fund, your most important fund, as we mentioned, three rows up from the bottom in that first column, about a $4.3 million increase in your general fund balance. And then if you go all the way to the very last column, the total governmental funds had about a $4.5 million increase in total fund balance. So basically all the other funds, if we aggregate them together, pretty much broke even. So the general fund, $4.33 million. Total funds, about $4.45 million. Essentially, the other governmental funds are, and that's really what they're intended to do, is collect enough resources to cover the immediate expenditures. They essentially broke even during the course of the year. So again, the other governmental funds of the county, in addition to your general fund, are in a healthy financial condition at December 31st, 2022. And if you go now all the way to page 70, we get a comparative schedule showing the county's net pension asset. This has 9 years. So this standard, the pension reporting standards have been in effect now for 9 years. Next year we will have a 10th year worth of data. Ultimately, we're going to have 10 years of comparative data showing how the pension funding is progressing over time. So in 2022, about one-third of the way down the page, the total pension liability, according to the actuaries, was about $3.4 million. And then about two-thirds of the way down, the planned fiduciary net position, or the total assets, came in about $4.15 million, leaving a net pension asset of about $750,000. And again, very unique. The county has about 120% funding for your net pension liability. Most of my counties are 70 to 75% of, you know, their assets equal about 75% of their total liability. You guys are 122%. So very well funded, very much ahead of schedule in terms of funding that long-term liability. You can see halfway down the page during the year 2022, there was a net investment loss of $792,100. It's just due to the normal ebb and flow of the market. You can see the previous 3 years, there were healthy returns on your pension assets. So, again, just the nature of the stock market with regard to how it impacts your funding percentage. And just one more page I wanted to point out, if you go all the way to page 120, Because the county expends more than $750,000 of federal funds, in addition to auditing your financial statements, we take a look at those federal funds and we make sure that the county is receiving and expending those funds in accordance with all the federal requirements. So we go through and we pick one or two major programs every year. This year it was the Airport Improvement Program. You can see that about halfway down the page. And we took a look at half a dozen different federal compliance requirements, and we made sure that the county had suitable controls designed to ensure compliance over those federal funds. And then if you look about one-third of the way down the page in the federal award section, you can see that there were no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. In other words, your controls were suitably designed and effectively operating to make sure that you guys are receiving and expending those funds in accordance with the federal grant requirements. So not only did you have a clean opinion on your financial statements, your federal awards came back clean as well. Those are the highlights I've got, but I'm certainly happy to take any further questions.
Any questions?
I do have one question. Most of our departments are staying real close to their budget, but I did notice that the Emmett County Medical Examiner on one page had gone over budget by $37,000. I don't have that page in front of me, but do we know what's going on there?
You know, typically when we see budget exceptions, there's a bill that comes in at the end of the year that is more than what was expected, and by then, you know, the final budget amendments have already passed. So that's, you know, the most common cause for a budget variance. You know, a late invoice shows up from a vendor after the final budget has been etched in stone and approved by the Board of Commissioners. So I don't have the work papers in front of me, but that is one of the more common culprits.
And I can comment on too. That is exactly what happened.
Okay.
So bills came in afterwards from the hospital and that, and we didn't have that before we did the budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to comment Mrs. Gibson and her staff on the great audit again this year.
Yes, very good.
And we didn't need any coffee.
That's good.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
So while we're here, we might as well look for the motion, right? Mm-hmm.
Chair, I move that the Board of Commissioners adopt the 2021 audit report as presented.
Second.
Hold on.
It's supposed to be 2022.
That's my error.
Oh, boy.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to compliment you.
I said adopt instead of accept.
There's a lot of numbers.
Pam's me trying to make us all look good. You want to reread that?
I move that the Board of Commissioners accept the 2021-22 audit report as presented.
Second. And a motion and a second. Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Coon?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Evans?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Safe travels.
Well,
okay. So we have North Country Community Mental Health presentation.
Hello. I'm Brian Babbitt. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for North Country Community Mental Health. Thanks for time on the agenda tonight. I'm happy to be able to present our FY22 annual report. And I stumble over that every time because it's a year late, really, by the time it's all said and done. You have it in your packet, I think. So what I'd like to do is just point out some of the highlights and then open it up for questions. On page 4, down in the lower left-hand corner, you'll see a little platinum-colored bell seal down there. That's a national certification that we achieved for recognizing employees who are committed to creating a mentally healthy workplace. And you might say, well, that's your business. You ought to be able to do that, and you're right. But it's our business, and it's a heavy business sometimes. So it's an extra kind of layer of stress, I think, that people can take home with them. So very happy to be able to have the policy and the procedure and benefits in place to help with that balance. It really does consider the total employee experience with North Country Community Mental Health. I'd also point out on the first bullet point up on the upper right-hand side, we don't carry a lot of grants, but this grant for $151,663 funds our two criminal justice liaisons. So we have two people serving six counties, and their job is to provide non-emergent mental health contacts to any inmate who requests it or jail staff who request it. So in FY22, We provided 1,227 mental health contacts to 330 individual people in that were incarcerated. Down at the bottom, the last bullet point, this was new for us this year. It's a partnership with Pine Rest Christian Health Services, and it is a fellowship program for child and adolescent psychiatry. So we are fortunate enough that our medical director, Dr. Mary Vogel, is a child psychiatrist. She's operated in our community for a long time. So she has contributed her knowledge to this program to develop fellows. So these are fully licensed psychiatrists. We get 4 years. And not only do we hopefully develop some resources that are needed in rural areas, but it also allows us to serve more people in the community. So we have 4 psychiatrists that we wouldn't normally have that are seeing kids every Friday morning. On page 5, the Client Special Needs Fund, I usually like to give a shout out to the folks that are listed there that contribute to that. And we raised about $9,000, give or take, last year. It's $1,000 more than the year prior. It's not a lot of money, but it's important money because it's completely unrestricted. So we use it for things, for people who receive services from us, for things that can't otherwise be funded. So we might keep people, somebody in their home. We might get them in their home. It might be a car repair, things that normally you wouldn't be able to do with Medicaid. If we take a look at 6 and 7, those are client stories. I won't go into those. They're representative of all the counties that we serve. And I'd encourage you to take a look and read them if you haven't done that already. And then we get to by the numbers on page 8. And up in the upper left-hand corner, you'll notice really the first 2 line items there, community living supports and case management and treatment planning, make up 64% of our total spend out of the budget. The community living supports are typically for folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And if you see IDD in some of these graphs, that's what that is. And these are long-term services and supports in our community. They're high intensity. Sometimes they're 24/7 in an AFC home with multiple staff. And it can also include folks who are living in their own apartment and getting, you know, 6 or 10 hours a week of support just to be able to maintain in that setting. So that always takes up a large share of our budget. However, when we get to the next page, you'll see it's really not the highest share of the population of the folks that we serve. So it's very disproportionate. If you look at the psychiatric inpatient services, we trended 3 years there for you this time. They're down a little bit in FY22. I'm hoping that's the after COVID bump and it stays like that. But there are a lot of influencers there. And one thing that is negatively impacting folks today is the inability to get them an inpatient bed. So that remains pretty critical in the state of Michigan, both private and state-level hospital beds. You will see, however, that our state hospital admissions went up. That's a small number still at 17 for the year, but the average length of stay increased considerably up to 521 days. So the acuity of the folks that were admitted was higher, as you might expect when things are really limited. From a revenue standpoint, in the upper right-hand corner, first 2 line items, Medicaid and Healthy Michigan, are both Medicaid. They make up 91% of our budget. That's very restricted, very targeted funds for us. And then if we go over to page 9, we persons served by county of residence. For Emmett County, it was 19%. That's fairly well distributed among all the counties that we serve. The expenditures were 11%, so it was a little bit lower. We don't have AFC homes in Emmett County for whatever reason. We go out, we request bids, we just haven't gotten anybody to take it. And so that's probably why that number is a little bit less, because of the type of services provided. And then under the person served by population, the IDD adult and IDD child, which was taken up 64% of the budget, is really 22% of the population that we serve by diagnosis. And with that, I'd open it for any questions.
I have a question. Could you explain just a little bit what is an AFC home and what the criteria are for an AFC home?
Yeah, so an AFC home is a licensed adult foster care home. Okay. For us to contract, so in a AFC home has like a basic array of services, right? Room and board, all of those things are in any AFC home. For folks who might need additional services because of disabilities, then we provide staffing. And in order for that home to have a contract with us, they have to have a special certification on top of it.
We don't have those in the county.
We have AFC homes, but not ones that we contract with.
Okay. Yeah.
And we've had small homes, you know, with maybe one child placed or one individual placed over the years, but we don't have any big six-bed homes that we're funding.
Is there a lack of people with those certifications in order for those homes to exist?
It's hard to really know why we don't have them in Emmett County. Part of it may be real estate costs, but we do have them in Charlevoix, which is probably comparable, although we don't have many in Charlevoix County anymore. I think more of it is really just based on history, right? When folks were coming out of the institutions, Gaylord was kind of a central hub. And so there are more structures in place in Otsego County than there are in Emmett County, and some of that just might be historical.
Any other questions?
Ryan, could you explain Clubhouse? Everybody probably drives by Toski Club on 31. And
right across from the hospital emergency room.
Wonder what it is.
Yeah, it's a psychosocial club. It is basically run by the members of the club, provides supports. It's that population is MI versus mentally ill versus the IDD population. It provides a lot of different supports from just the social aspect of it, to meal preparation, to activities, to, the support, again, required to be, pardon?
Employment
as well. We also have supported employment for the population aside from the clubhouse as well.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Good job.
Area on Aging.
You got all my groups tonight, thank you.
I guess so.
Get Dave all cleared up.
You're going to have a short report this next
time. Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah, you're doing it all right.
Good evening. My name is Heidi Gustine. I'm the Executive Director of the Area Agency on Aging. Thank you for having me here tonight. In your folder is a copy of the PowerPoint that is on the screen, as well as in your packet, as well as our annual report. What I'd like to do tonight is talk a little bit about the population trends here in Emmett County, provide an overview of the Area Agency on Aging, what we do, and then talk about our FY22 performance 22. Performance here across the region, as well as here in Emmett County specifically. Next slide, please. So if we look at the 10 counties in general, we know that we're getting older. It is an aging region. But in Emmett County specifically, the overall population has only been increasing 0 to 2% per year, whereas the 60-plus population, and we think about the 60-plus population because that's where senior millage starts to come into place and where federal funding starts to come into place for programs and services, has been increasing at 2 to 3% per year. So from the 2010 census up into the American Community Survey of 2021, the 60-plus population has increased from 7,700 up to 10,000. Next slide, please. If we look at that across the 10 counties that the Area Agency on Aging serves, almost one in three people in Emmett County are over the age of 60. And it puts us in the middle of the pack for the counties, whereas Leelanau County, 41% of that county is 60-plus. So not aging quite as fast, but in the middle of the pack. Next slide, please. And that has been trending from 24% 10 years ago up to 30% now. The good news is that the population, the 60-plus population, isn't super old. So 52% is in the 60s, 32% is in the 70s, and only 13% is in the 80s. So we're not seeing that progression yet. The baby boomers are here. They've landed, and we've all been saying the boomers are coming, the boomers are coming. They're officially in this demographic cohort now, but we're not seeing them into the higher age cohorts yet.
She said that on our account.
I'm getting up there myself. Thank you. Next slide, please. So if we think about this in terms of services, the University of Michigan Institute for Health Policy and Innovation says that 88% of older adults want to stay in their homes. They don't want to go into a nursing home. And so we think about how do we make that happen as communities. And in generalities, gross generalities, people in their 60s need information and prevention and education about about aging, what to prepare for. In their 70s, it's still a lot of information and prevention, but starting to look at in-home services, so it's sort of like what the Friendship Center here in Emmett County does, starting to focus on that socialization and starting to get into care management, a little bit of what the Area Agency on Aging does. By the time we're into our 80s, in gross generalities, needing more intensive care management, long-term care planning for end of life. And so thinking about that whole continuum and how that's going to transform over the next 10 years as that segment gets older. We're going to have more needs over the next 10 years and into the next 15 years. Next slide, please. So the Area Agency on Aging of Northwest Michigan is a quasi-governmental agency. We were founded in 1974 out of the Older Americans Act. We're a private 501c3. We serve 10 counties in Northwest Michigan. So we have a board of directors that is comprised of county commissioners or appointees. Commissioner White is your appointee to our board. We have $19 million in gross revenues. 70% of that is Medicaid-derived, with 30% of that coming from federal and state funding, Older Americans Act and Older Michiganians Act primarily, with some other local funding and grants to support. And we've got about 45 FTEs. Our mission is to serve and advocate for older adults, adults with disabilities, and caregivers by supporting their independence, dignity, and quality of life. Next slide, please. So we have kind of four big buckets of work. The first is planning and coordinating. So you have a plan before you on your agenda tonight that is a plan prescribed by MDHHS that says of the $5 million that we get in federal and state funding, how are we reporting to the government that it's going to be spent on what programs and services, whether we do those directly or we RFP out and contract out that money for prescribed. It has to go into very prescribed mechanisms for things like Meals on Wheels or in-home care, elder abuse services. The government tells us how that money has to be spent, and that plan is before you tonight for approval. So we're also a granting agency because that funding comes through, and we RFP out a lot of that money. We provide information and options counseling. So we have a team of nurses and social workers who spend all day on the phone answering complex calls of people calling in saying, I don't know what to do with mom, or I don't know what to do with my spouse. I've got dementia. I don't want to go into a nursing home. What are my options? And we take these calls all day long. And with the pandemic, we've seen the acuity increasing. We've had a 30% increase in this call volume. And then we also have our Medicaid and care management federally funded programs to offer alternatives to nursing homes. So instead of having someone go into a nursing home, we will contract with providers to go into the home and arrange a care plan so that someone has personal care and homemaking and other services. Similar to what Brian just described for the IDD population, we do that for the older adult population to stay in their homes. Next slide. So regionally, in FY22, we granted out $2.164 million to senior meal programs across the 10 counties. We had 4,439 contacts to assist people with Medicare and Medicaid questions. We answered 3,316 complex calls for information and options of what to do with the complex aging situations. We care managed 803 individuals, and we transitioned 63 individuals out of nursing homes into the community. Next slide, please. Here in Emmett County, we granted $212,000 to the Friendship Centers for Senior Meal Programming. We spent $1.56 million on care and services for residents in Emmett County to keep them out of nursing homes. That was 70 individuals that were care managed, and we transitioned two people out of nursing homes back into the community. Next slide, please. We are heavily outcomes focused, so our survey results indicate that our participants rate that their quality of life is 2.5 times better from before they go into our programs until after. One of our quotes, I was barely existing and secluded. I had no family, and AAA makes me feel someone cares. It's wonderful to have support, and I appreciate all that is done for me. I feel confident and happier with you, with your help, and actually managing my life now. And we have satisfaction with our supports coordination and our programs ranging from 93% to 100%. And with that, I'd like to entertain any questions.
Any questions?
So people on the My Choice waiver, do you have a hard time actually providing the care for them, finding the providers?
We do. It has been a challenge. We did a provider rate increase about 2 years ago that has helped, but with the direct care workforce shortage, it's a constant struggle. Yes.
Are there people that need the services and aren't getting them as a result of that?
I would say we have unfilled care plans rather than no services. Yes.
Any other questions?
No, she hears from me enough.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The administrator's report.
Thank you. We've had a busy weekend with the holidays. In my report, you'll see, and we've had some challenges over the holidays, too. I'm sure most of you heard that the lock stopped functioning on July 3rd, which was our busiest weekend. Army Corps of Engineers did send a group down from the Sioux Locks, and we're able to get it working on the 4th and fully functioning on the 5th. So we thank them for getting that. We just operate it. They maintain it. So they did a good job getting someone down here on the holiday weekend. We also did get a report from the health department that Camp Pennesega, we had a higher level of E. coli in the lake, and it was a partial bathing. And the good news, that came in on Wednesday, and by Friday the ban was lifted, so there was no restrictions at the campground. It shows in here there was 197 reservations for Friday through the 5th of July, completely filled up, and everything went very well at the campgrounds. The fairgrounds were also busy. We had the antique show, and we also had the craft show. We saw over 2,000 people at the antique show. And I don't know what the final numbers were because it was just last weekend on the craft show, but there was over 40 vendors. The airport was very busy, as you see in the report. July 4th weekend, there's a lot of private planes coming in there. You'll see that we sold over 8,000 gallons of fuel that weekend. A lot of planes coming in. The good news is I have no reports of wheels not operating this week, so everybody came in, over 355 aircrafts with no issues.
All wheels down.
Wheels down. ARPA funding, you'll see tonight we've got two more ARPA fundings. Out of the 22 communities, we have 18. We have two that were still working, and one said no. So the good news is over the next few meetings, hopefully, we'll have all those presented for you. So glad to see that, and we're getting a lot of the communities thanking us for that assistance. And the Road Commission, there's a lot of money going to the Road Commission to help with our community projects. Budgets. At the next meeting, we will give you our budgets schedule for 2024, and we'll go through that and we'll have the list for you. The budget process for us will start August 14th. We'll go through this, and then our meetings with you folks will be in October. As we start the process internally with all the departments, we get it prepared, and then we'll start and sit down with the board and go through the budget process. So we'll give you the schedule at our next meeting.
Okay, sounds good. Any questions for the administrator? Comments? We have no unfinished business. We're down to new business. We're looking for a motion for the fair sound and lighting contract.
Pretty straightforward. This is every year we have a lighting and stage that comes in. We've used this company before. We have quotes in there. The quote for the sound and lighting is $16,300, and that is offset by the cost of ticket sales for the fair.
Okay, looking for the motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll make the motion. I move that the board approve the attached agreement with Jay Sanborn Entertainment to provide stage, sound, and lighting in the amount of $16,300 and authorize the county administrator to sign the agreement.
Second. We have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
And a second. We have the roll call.
I have a question on that first.
I'm sorry.
I see it. We're paying $16,300. What does Shelby County contribute to that? They
contribute a percentage to the overall show. It's not specifically to this item.
It's about $18,000.
$18,000 for the fair itself.
Okay.
Any other questions? Sorry, everybody. Okay, let's have the roll call.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have the Center for Shared Solutions.
State of Michigan has a department, the Center for Shared Solutions, and they're asking all the counties' GIS systems to work along with them in the 911 system, so there's a statewide repository for GIS. It's information that's provided on our GIS right now, but they're going to, they want to, instead of going and pulling it individually, a kind of a process to go on to, or we will share our information with them instead of them downloading it one at a time. Most other counties that we have seen are in this process, and it gives us a statewide bank of information. So it's something our GIS is brought forward to us, and we think it's important to be a part of the state's GIS.
Okay. Looking for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the memorandum of agreement and with the State of Michigan Center of for Shared Solution and authorize the county administrator to sign the agreement.
We have a motion. Looking for a second.
A second.
A motion and a second. Roll call.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnett?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. We have HVAC controls.
Yes, this is a, if you look at the bid specification, it was quite one of our most lengthy ones. This is a system that controls the courtrooms and the jails. We've been having problems for the last several years with this system. There is no controls left on it. The equipment that we have is outdated, and it's being operated manually. We had a company come in and assist us, a consultant assist us on developing this system, and Advanced Building Controls out of Traverse City was the vendor that was selected through the matrix that we had for $43,240.
Okay, looking for the motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that the board award the contract to Advanced Building Control Systems Incorporated to complete the jail/courthouse HVAC control project in the amount of $43,240 and authorize the county administrator to sign the contract and other necessary documents.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Motion passes. The area on aging.
You just heard Heidi's presentation. Each year this comes before us to approve their implementation plan, and that's what you have before you. We've attached that in your packet, so this is the 24 plan.
So we're looking for the motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the attached resolution of the Emmett County Board of Commissioners approving the fiscal year 2024 annual implementation plan for the Area on Aging of Northwest Michigan and authorize the chairperson to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner
Loughlin? Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner
Gutowski. Yes. Motion passes. We have Bay Bluffs Furniture.
Proposals were put on the street for new furniture installed in 13 of the residential rooms in Bay Bluffs. When we back 2 years ago when we did the partner report was our study of the facility. And during that time, we evaluated all the infrastructure in the facility and earmarked $6,500 per room for new furniture. We are going through the birch ring rate now and renovating that. We put new HVAC units in there that you approved several meetings ago. It's painted and ready to move folks into it. This is the final stage of that, putting in new furniture in these wings. The total for the proposal came out to be $83,347, approximately $6,700 per room.
Okay, looking for a motion.
I'll make the motion, Chair. I move that the board approve the proposal from Direct Supply to furnish 13 resident rooms in the amount of $83,347.54, pending a suitable agreement to be determined by civil counsel of the administrator and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions, any discussion? Go ahead.
Mr. Boyer, is this bond money or
correct.
Loan money?
Bond money.
Any other questions?
This looks like Sugar Sound had, they were all over the place. I mean, they had all kinds of different options, but not a complete package.
For which one?
Sugar Sound out of Ann Arbor.
Well, I think their prices were all over and it wasn't complete.
Right.
And then what we're trying to do is set up a system here that as we go through it, we have a company that can support this as we move forward and try to be consistent throughout all the rooms will be the same.
Any other discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillen?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner
Loughlin? Yes.
Motion passes. Director of Equalization appointment.
Last month, we had a little bit of a surprise when we had our Deputy Director of Equalization and GIS come to us and tell us that he was retiring. And in conversations with our director, she also informed us that her plans were to retire in the future. We did go out and advertise, and I'm happy to report that internally, we have a candidate that meets all the requirements and actually started her career in 2019 in this department and then quickly was promoted over to Treasury as the Deputy Treasurer. She has and meets all the requirements of the Michigan State Tax Commission. She's a level 3. Raven Schneider is here tonight, and if there's any questions, she's here. She meets the qualifications, sat down with interview process with the current director, HR director, and myself.
Okay, thank you.
And in this position, because of what it is, does require the board to make an appointment. That's a state requirement.
Okay, so we're looking for the motion.
I'll move that the Emmett County Board of Commissioners appoint Raven Schneider, as requested by David Boyer, County Administrator, to the position of Director of Equalization and GIS for Emmett County.
We have a motion. Looking for a second.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Can you get the meter?
Would you step up and introduce yourself, Raven?
Hi. My name's Raven Schneider. Making a move over to Equalization, so...
Wonderful.
She has all the qualifications. The one thing that's nice, too, is Lynette, our director, said she will stay on for several months as we go through this transition. So Raven does understand it. She's got a unique background, and she's seen both sides of it, the collection and actually doing the roles. And with Lynette staying on board helping us out, I think we'll have a very smooth transition.
So then Raven gets to find a deputy director then?
We're going to work on that, on how that all looks. Lynette is part-time right now. Mike was full-time, and we'll sit down as we go through and figure out what's going to work best for Raven.
Good. Thank you. Okay, looking for the motion.
Did we make the motion?
Oh, any other discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Loeffler?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Motion passes. We have Resort Township.
Resort Township is, they submitted their application for ARPA funding. They're doing some major expansions on their town hall. Mike Kaiser is working with the supervisor there and have narrowed it down that we're going to help support their build out with the fire suppression system, which is quoted at $191,000. So they will put our $50,000 towards their expansion and to a specific project being that fire suppression system within the facility.
Okay, looking for the motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the agreement for the local fiscal recovery fund distribution with Resort Township, including $50,000 matching funds for the fire suppression system to be included in the Township Hall expansion project as requested in the submitted application, and authorize chairman of the board to sign said agreement.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call. Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Loeffler?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion passes. City of Petoskey, the same.
City of Petoskey is looking for doing some improvements in their winter sports park, and they are looking at purchasing some snowmaking equipment to enhance the winter activities that they have. That falls within the ARPA guidelines for recreation. And we support this project moving forward.
Okay, looking for the motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the agreement for local fiscal recovery fund distribution with the City of Petoskey, including $50,000 matching funds for the Winter Sports Park Improvement Project as requested in the submitted application, and authorize the chairman of the board to sign the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Loeffler?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. So, any communication?
Mr. Chairman, I do have one concern regarding communications. I received a copy of a letter from Deneen Smith, who is the executive director of Friendship Centers of Emmett County and member of Council on Aging. And it's kind of a lengthy three-page letter, but if I could just read a little bit of a first paragraph and the last paragraph, I think we'll get the flavor for this. It says, recently, this is to the Emmett County Planning and Zoning. Recently, we received an email regarding a violation of Yamhill County zoning ordinance related to the visuals and graphics of our newly installed sign at 1322 Anderson Road, Petoskey. Immediately upon receiving the email, we sought clarification of the ordinance and updated sign display. Additionally, we saw information about the process of requesting a variance to allow us to use the full digital capabilities of the sign. Upon reviewing the application, it was evident that the variance application is geared toward construction and does not address our issue of digital sign display. And in the last paragraph, she says, that said, we would propose that digital signs with eye-catching visuals and graphics be permitted in commercial and industrial areas. And the last sentence says, we sincerely appreciate the work that you do and are hopeful that changes will be made to allow the capabilities of digital signs to outreach to our community through a manner that is efficient and effective. I'm hoping that we could work with Friendship Township. They do so much for the citizens of Emmett County. I feel like we need to give them a waiver or exception in working with them to allow them to use their new sign.
So that's the Planning and Zoning Commission?
Yeah.
So that's
where it should start, is planning and
right,
zoning.
Yeah.
And go through that process.
Right. Yeah.
It did come up briefly a couple nights ago at our planning meeting. It seemed like the consensus of the group was there would be no exceptions. And that kind of concerns me.
Well, the qualifications for the electronic signs were worked on some years ago with safety data and others for a while. That's what was brought up at the meeting, too. So given one an exception over someone else to follow the law, you know, follow the guidelines of how you can have one is, it's not exactly right.
MDOT has standards out there, too, on what.
Yeah.
Same with the signs that we have. It can only be one color. It can't be flashing. It can't be.
And we follow it. The county follows it with our electronic sign out at the fairgrounds. We follow the code.
So I know Bear Creek Township is looking at putting a digital sign up, and Tammy was at the meeting this last Wednesday and explained the size, the maximum size that the sign could be, and I think the township is still going to look at it. I mean, I guess Friendship Center probably should have talked to the county first about the size of the sign.
Size of the sign and the material that's allowed to be displayed is what's probably more of a question. And I would say that it should be in the Planning Commission for them to review this.
Right. I agree. Thank you.
Okay, I do have a copy of this for our clerk here. Make it a part of the record.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other communication? Time for public comment. Anybody else wishing to speak to the microphone? 3 minutes. Okay, seeing nobody, let's go to the next county commissioner meeting. Will be held in this room on July 20th at 6 o'clock. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. We're adjourned.